Welcome to the Bethany Bible Church Teaching Ministry Podcast, a place to dive deep into God's Word and discover how it transforms everyday life. We're a church committed to praising God, preparing His people, and proclaiming the gospel. Each message features biblical teaching from our Sunday gatherings with the goal of helping you grow in your faith, understand Scripture more clearly, and live out the truth of the gospel wherever God has placed you. Whether you're a part of our Bethany family or listening in from across the world, we're glad you're here. So whether you're commuting, exercising, or doing dishes, grab your Bible, lean in, and let God's Word speak into your life. If you ever have questions or want to learn more about Bethany Bible Church, visit us online at bethanybiblechurch.com. Thanks for listening. We're honored to walk with you as you grow in Christ.
All right, so we're in a series called Family Matters. Why? Because family matters. It matters in all of us. And no matter where you are in your stage of family, right, whether you're single, whether you are a great-great-grandparent, or anywhere in between, this message, this series is for you. Because maybe you say to yourself, listen, this doesn't matter, this doesn't apply to me, I'm all alone. And I would tell you that there are 200 people that are right here that are part of your family that need you desperately. There are, I don't know how many, there's 20-something kids that just walked out of here that need you desperately. Right? Like I can't emphasize enough how this truth, because I'm not going to give you just my plan and what I've done in my family, because that's not applicable maybe for your family, right? It may not work. Everybody's got their own different personalities and the way that God has brought you up and has shown you the way to do things. There's a ton of different parenting styles out there. Whatever your way, as long as it is honoring and built on the foundation of Christ, right? We need you. We need every part, right? I would encourage every person in here to at some point serve in kids ministry, serve in the nursery, serve in students, so that you can be a part of what God is doing in their lives to form them and bring them up. It doesn't matter if you've never had kids. It doesn't matter if you've had 1,000 kids and you just need some time alone. God wants to use you. And so we're going to spend this week and the next two more weeks talking about what does it look like in God's word to raise children. And last week we looked at God's blueprint for the family, right? Like everything that we need to know is within his word. It is the foundation. It's not culture's blueprint. It's not Hollywood's blueprint. It's not even our own preferences. It is God's way, his design, as rooted in the scriptures. And like any strong foundation, it is ready to be built upon, which is what we're going to do over the next 3 weeks. So today we're going to look at raising children. And I like to say, when we raise children, really what we're doing is we're raising adults. Because at the end of the day, those little, cute, wonderful kids, snot-nosed as they are, turn into adults. Adults. You wonderful, beautiful people. Some of you snot-nosed because of the allergies. And we're looking at that next generation. This is the part that I think we forget, because we get so caught up in our own world that we forget that that group that just left, they're going to be the ones that are doing what you're doing right now as far as moving the gospel forward. And that's important for God. As a God who stands outside of time and space, he understands how important it is to continue to move forward the great commission that Jesus gave us. And he cares deeply about the next generation. He cares about the atmosphere of our homes. He cares about the way that we talk to each other, the way that we handle hurt. He cares about all of these things, the way that we model faith and even respond in conflict. He cares about the way that we disciple the young people in our lives. And like I said, there's no shortage of parenting styles out there, right? There's a ton of them. I could point to them, and some of them I don't understand. Some of them I've never used in my own life, but that's fine. I'm not going to tell you which style to use as far as parenting goes. That's between you and the Lord. That's between you and your upbringing that you were raised in, right? You get to make that determination, but what you don't get to determine is what do you base all of it on? If you're a Christ follower, that should be based in the scriptures. 100%. And so today we're going to look at two passages, and obviously you could go throughout the whole scripture, but we're going to look at two fairly familiar passages today that outline the heartbeat and the habits of a healthy Christ-shaped home. We're going to start in Deuteronomy 6 in the Old Testament. This is Moses' swan song sermon. He's going to give us that heartbeat of what God wants at the center of the home, right? Love at the center of the home. And then we're going to look at Paul's letter to the Colossians in chapter 3. So if you want to go in your Bibles there, and if you don't have a Bible, there's some Bibles under the chairs. You're welcome to use those and have those if you don't have a Bible at home. But Deuteronomy chapter 6 in the Old Testament, Colossians chapter 3 in the New Testament. Paul's going to show us in Colossians the habits of kindness, humility, patience, forgiveness, and love that binds everything together in the family. And what these verses show us is just simply this, that a faithful family is formed when God's truth shapes our hearts and Christ's character shapes our homes. Did you know that, well, I was a kids pastor for a very long time, and so I played a game with the kids quite often that I loved so much because it made me feel like I have such power over them. It was Simon Says. Right? Have you ever played Simon Says, right? I thought about this all week. I was like, should I have them do it? Because I could embarrass so many of them. But I chose not to. So I'm just going to give you an example, right? So Simon Says, I say, Simon Says, put your hand over your head, and you put your hand over your head, and then Simon Says, pat your belly, and you start patting your belly, and then you try to get him by saying, now wave your arms, right? Now, if you just use your words, if I just stood here and just like a auctioneer and just said the words, you could probably follow along pretty well, and you're listening for Simon Says. But if I'm making the gestures, right? The secret to getting every, you can try this at home with your own kids and just get them. But if you say something like, hey, everybody, Simon Says, put your hands in the air. What are they going to do? They're going to start waving their arms. Or Simon says, pat your head. What are they going to do? They're going to pat their stomach. Why? Because they're watching you. And so it's diabolical and it happens all the time, right? We could bring every one of them in here and I could get them. Which again, it was always my goal. I found joy in getting them so fast. But the purpose is, it's because they're not necessarily listening to what you say. What you say is important, but they're watching what you do. And so you can dominate in Simon Says if you just actually listen and don't watch, because a good caller is gonna get you every time. But kids are watching. And adults are watching too, for that matter, but kids especially. Whether we realize it or not, they are watching. They absorb our habits, they notice our reactions, they see our real character, and they understand our daily rhythms, possibly better than we understand them ourselves. And that's exactly what God is addressing in today's passage. Right, Moses in Deuteronomy here, this is, again, it's his farewell sermon, right? He knows that the end of his life is near. He is bringing together everything that he has learned from God and putting it down into the pages of Deuteronomy. And he is giving us what God has really shown him and revealed to him through his life about how we should follow him. And in chapter 6, he details that heartbeat of a faithful home. And so we're going to look at several different points here. I was telling somebody earlier, like I have like three lists today, okay? It's not three different sermons, it's just three quick lists because I want us to make sure that we have an understanding, not a parenting style, but an understanding of God's way for the home. And so it starts in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. It says, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. This is the starting point for our homes. This is the starting point for our lives, personally. Before we start on what it looks like to raise kids, what it looks like to build a good family, we have to understand first and foremost, who do we follow? Discipleship in the home begins with your heart. That's the first thing that you need to understand. It goes on in verse 5, it says, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. We can't pass on to the next generation what we don't possess. In our hearts, what do we love the most? Do you have a heart that is transformed from Jesus' name? Do you love the Lord with all your heart? You can say it all you want, but what does the evidence of your life say? That's what your kids are watching. What does your walk with the Lord look like on a daily basis? Because your kids see if the Lord is the ruler of your heart. They see it not necessarily in the words that you speak, but in the way that you treat them, in the way that you live life, in the way that you treat others, the way that you come up to every circumstance of life. It's so much more than just dragging them to church, which is great. Bring them here. But it's so much more about what happens. Your walk with God determines the success of whatever parenting strategy you choose. So make sure that that is firmly planted in your life first. The second thing is that faith is formed through consistent and everyday conversation. Look in verse 6. I don't have this on the screen. Sorry, I added this late. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road. Conversations are obviously very important in any relationship, in any parenting situation. But what you're talking about is also incredibly important. Are you teaching with intention the scriptures? This happens, I've seen it done a lot of different ways. I've experienced it done. I've done it a lot of different ways, a lot of wrong ways, where you're trying to force something that it's important that your kids learn the scriptures, but there are ways to properly introduce them to and to teach them these things. I like to use teachable moments, right? A teachable moment is an opportunity within your family where somebody asks a question or something happens and you take that moment intentionally to point back towards scripture and to show them in the scripture why this is important. They learn that in the circumstance, in that illustration of that moment. These intentional conversations are essential. But in order for these to be effective, we have to be ready, right? If you don't know the scriptures, it's going to be really hard in a teachable moment to point back to a scripture that you don't know. That goes back to the first part. How is your heart? You can't expect your kids to know scripture if you don't know scripture. Does it make sense? Sorry, I know this is, ouch, stop, but it can't. This is in our all of life rhythm. We have to be ready as parents, as people who are parenting and walking kids through life to give them the truth of scripture. These passages here within Deuteronomy chapter 6, Jewish people would know that as a Shema, right? These verses 4-9, it's this daily confession that's the anchor of family discipleship in their lives. And they would repeat it each and every day, sometimes multiple times a day, just to remind themselves of who it is they serve and why they do what they do. The third thing that you need to understand is that God's truth must fill our homes physically and spiritually. In verse 9, it says, write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In the Jewish homes, they became very legalistic, and they actually started carrying these things around, and then they put these boxes called mezuzahs inside the door frames of their house because they were reading it in a very literal manner. And that's fine, right? I'm not telling you go home and take down all the scriptures that are on your wall. That's very important, and it's very good, and it's fine. But if it's not in your heart, it doesn't matter what's on your wall. It doesn't matter the bumper sticker on your car if you drive like a maniac and throw the bird out every once in a while. Okay, in fact, that's you take it off your bumper sticker and definitely take off the Bethany Bible Church logo you got on your car, okay? Don't do it. You represent the Lord and you represent us. But what they took literally, we understand that God wants our heart. He wants these things written on our heart in a way that it manifests in our lives. Right, I actually got a call one time a few years back with a guy that was a new believer, and he was so excited about following the Lord But he didn't quite understand the heart transformation that you needed. And so he was having some trouble with his family. He was having some trouble with life, and things were getting him down. And so he had me come over, and I was like, yeah, I'd love to come over and pray with you and walk through some things. And I walk in his house, and he has these Bibles just opened everywhere, all over the place. And I was like, okay, that's a way to decorate. He goes, I just don't know what else to do. I've got these things all open all over the place. And isn't that what you're supposed to do? And I was like, ah. Okay, let me introduce you to the transformed heart, right? As a new believer, he was reading it legalistically. He was reading it literally. And what he had to understand is that a Bible that's open just in a heart, it's not a lucky charm. It's what's on the pages. It's what's in the words. It's what's in the heart of God that needs to get into your heart that makes all of the difference. That has to be the case. You can carry a Bible and a cross and all these other things as much as you want, but if that's as far as you take it, it doesn't work that way. The principle is much deeper. Scripture has to shape our conversations at home. It has to shape the practices of our home and the values of our home. That's what should be represented, because that is what the next generation sees, regardless of what you say. And here is the hard truth sometimes, is that the home is the primary place of discipleship. We have an incredible Kids Ignite ministry. We have an incredible nursery ministry, preschool ministry. We have an amazing Awana program. But all of that pales in comparison to what you do at home, because those are only 2-3 hours a week. You have them for all the rest. So you are the primary discipler. My brother-in-law one time was preaching a message, and I didn't know he was going to say it, but he was trying to overemphasize. He goes, listen, if you bring Seth or me, your kid, and say, hey, I want you to save them, I'm going to send them home back to you. And I was like, oh, all right, now listen. I think he was just excited, right? He was excited, but the heart behind what he was saying is that you have to be the primary discipler. You need to know Christ yourself well enough to explain it to them. I'm happy to meet with any kid, any person, and talk through these things. But I'm just a guy like you guys. Know your scripture, walk them through the plan of salvation, help them to understand what it means to follow Christ. If you need help, we're here for you. I'm here. I want to help walk you through it. Does that make sense? This is where I'm differing. I'm lovingly say, bring them all you want. But I'm going to point back to you and go, well, tell me what you guys have talked about. And if you say nothing, that's your job. I'm like, all right. Step out of the room. No, I won't do that. That was a joke. Everybody relax. But the church is the supplement to your discipleship in your home with your family. You are the only one, listen to this, you are the only one who has been perfectly placed to introduce your child to faith. You're the only person that can do that for you. Right? You can delegate every other task that you do in your life away, and it will get done. Maybe not as well as you could do it, but it'll get done. But no one is designed perfectly to raise your kids as you are. No one is designed perfectly to grandparent your kids as you are. So accept that responsibility. It's so important. And that is why Paul tells us that in order for us to do that, we have to look at our wardrobe. You might be saying, what? Some of you might be like, all right, now we're talking. Let's get into some stuff here. I need a new set of clothes. I need a good reason to go shopping. That's not really what he's talking about. But he does use that analogy quite a bit. So let's jump over to Colossians, right? Just again, if you're at the front of the Bible, now go to the back of the Bible. Verse 12 in Colossians chapter 3. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. So what I want to give you here from this passage is five characteristics that you've already seen. The characteristics of a healthy, Christ-reflecting home starts with tender-hearted mercy. Kids need compassion more than they need perfectionism. They need to see you care more about them than what they accomplish. And the beauty is grandparents are the best at this, right? It didn't matter what I did on the football field or what I did on the track. My grandmother loved me. And my parents did too, but they really wanted me to be good. There was a different responsibility. But I could walk with my grandmother and be like, oh, I had a terrible game. She's like, that's okay. Let me make you a milkshake. Okay. It was great. That tenderhearted mercy is what our kids need. They also need kindness. The tone of a home matters so much. Shouting doesn't shape hearts, right? Kindness does. Shouting pushes away. Kindness brings people in. I see people looking at each other. No judgment. God's grace is sufficient for all of us. The third thing is humility. Parents, listen, this is a secret. Apologizing to your kids will disciple them far more than any lecture you give them. When they see that you're not a perfect human, it gives them the freedom to make mistakes too. It takes that pressure off of them. And this is so important, especially, maybe it was just when I was growing up, but I feel like we feel this pressure to know everything, and it's important that your kids know that you don't know the answers to everything. But it's important for you to admit that and to go and figure it out. Go learn whatever it is. That learning process goes a long way, especially if it means opening up scripture and seeing what God says about it. Humility is a critical component to great parenting, to raising a great child. Then gentleness. Gentleness is simply strength under control, right? Knowing what you believe and having the strength to say, I'm going to do this in a loving manner. Your children should feel safe and confident in your strength. And then patience, right? Paul lets patience be the last one, right? Because if you're raising kids, this one needs to be framed on every wall in every house, right? In this home, we practice patience, I hope. Give me a minute, right? Whatever it needs to be. And then Paul, in verse 13, he goes even deeper. He says, make allowance for each other's faults, right? Patience is about being okay when everything's not okay. Knowing that your kids are sinners too, just like you. Healthy homes acknowledge this, and they respond with forgiveness, which is why Paul says, forgive anyone who offends you. That is the oxygen of a Christian home. Without it, it's like being up in an airplane when you lose cabin pressure. You're done. You need forgiveness. And then again, he goes back to the metaphor with clothing. He says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. He used this metaphor twice in one passage so that we understand what he's saying. It needs to be a part of who we are. When people see us, they need to see love in them. Why does he use clothes so much? Because we often wear what we represent, what we care about, right? Unless your mom dresses you. And I have a picture that's me. And I didn't choose that outfit. You see that lady back there in the back, she picked that out. It was a 4th of July parade. I don't even know what that shirt says, Great Wolf. I don't know. I don't know where that hat choice came from either. But I just thought that was me as a kid. Just whatever my mom wanted to lay out, I was like, whatever, I'm happy about it. There's another picture I thought that was going, oh yeah, there it is. That's my, everybody else in the family. My cousin back there with his hands on his hips was not happy about this situation. He knew, right? I don't know how that hat's even staying on my head. But yeah, that's us. That's mom putting stuff together. Oh boy. We dress ourselves, we dress ourselves in the things that we like, the things that we believe in, what we want to share with other people, right? Love should be our clothing every day. It's the glue. It's what holds the family together. And then Paul, what he does is he continues on. He gives this like temperature check to see how what we're wearing is actually making a difference. He says, and let peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. There where he says that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. That word rule, it's a lot like an umpire, right? Like it's, if you know anything about baseball, the umpire, what he says goes. And sure, you can argue the call, you can argue the decision that was made, but it's his decision. In our hearts, that should be the case. It should be firm. It should be foundational, because otherwise you start arguing with an umpire in baseball, he could throw you out. You don't want to get thrown out. Christ needs to be the umpire of our home. His rule needs to be firm, because it is firm. We need to let peace call the shots and let the character of Christ control the atmosphere of our homes. So then, if we wrapped it all up, how do we disciple children today? If we put together everything that we have from Deuteronomy 6 and what we have from Colossians 3, I want to give you four very practical ways to build a faithful home. It starts with model what you want to be multiplied. Your kids are going to copy your prayers. Your kids are going to copy the way you react to things, the way you handle conflict, the way that you read in scripture. They're going to copy the attitudes that you have in life and even your church involvement. You are forming a future adult. Again, you're not raising a good child that will stay that cute little thing that they are. They're going to be an adult. It happens to every one of us. So that way that you form them matters how you respond today. So model well. The second thing is we create a culture of grace. Don't make your home a courtroom. Make it a place where grace is practiced, which means that we forgive very fast. We apologize often and we show kindness consistently. Those are the things. Those are the quick things that create a culture of grace. Then bring spiritual conversations into daily life, right? You don't need a seminary degree to disciple your kids. You can practice faithful, you can just be spiritually available and watch how God uses you in the car, at the dinner table, during a moment of correction when they've messed up inevitably. You can do it before bed, right? Kids are always trying not to go to sleep, so they'll talk to you like crazy at bedtime. You can do it when they're hurting and when they're celebrating. But be available for them spiritually. Look for those opportunities. And then fight for connection, not perfection. Your kids, they don't care if your house is always clean. What they care about is whether they felt hurt, whether they felt loved, whether they felt seen. And what they know is whether or not you pointed them to Jesus. Connection builds trust, trust opens hearts, and open hearts receive truth. That is how it all comes together. And here's the thing, a faithful family is not built in a moment. It's not built in just a year. It's built moment by moment, year after year. Small deposits of scripture, small demonstrations of these Christ-like character, those are the things that matter. Those small acts of repentance and forgiveness repeated year after year is what forms a spiritual legacy. That's why God gives us 18 years to raise these kids up. It takes time. So if you've messed up, admit it. Ask forgiveness. And make a promise that you're going to try to continue to move forward according to Scripture. And whether you're a parent or a grandparent, a mentor, or a fellow church member, whatever it is, you are shaping the next generation of the church, the next generation of Christ followers, the next generation of pastors and missionaries and regular everyday folks in whatever area of life you're in. You are shaping those people. And we all have a role to play in that. Every one of us. If you're sitting there thinking, it's not for me, you're wrong. You all have just a small little smile, a small encouraging conversation. Those make all the difference in the world. And God has given you everything that you need through the power of the Holy Spirit, through His Word, and through His grace that He has modeled for us to lead this next generation faithfully. We just have to accept the responsibility. So accept the responsibility. So what do I want us to do? I want us to do two things. I want you to remember something, right? We're going to choose to memorize a verse this week. I'm going to give you an option, right? I want you to memorize either Deuteronomy 6:5 or Colossians 3:14. Look at them both. Feel free to remember both also. Choose one, write it on an index card, post it in your car or on your mirror or wherever you're going to look every day. Make it the wallpaper on your phone, whatever it takes. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Make it a part of your life so that you're reminded each and every day of the responsibility that you have for the next generation. And the second thing, in the spirit of thanksgiving, in the spirit of what Paul said at the end, to be thankful always, create a family gratitude jar, right? We've got a few days until Thanksgiving. From now until Thanksgiving, jam those things in there. Every opportunity, tell the kids, here's some paper. We're going to pop these things in here. Anytime you think of something you're thankful for. And then at Thanksgiving, where you usually would say, we're going to say something we're thankful for. Now you can pull it out of a jar and everybody doesn't have to go, my cat, my pie. You can have, those are all good things, but maybe we'll have a whole list of stuff. So create that. Read those together during the Thanksgiving season. God's going to give you these opportunities. We have to be intentional in the way that we spiritually lead this next generation. And again, no matter what role you have within that, you are essential. You are valuable. To accept that responsibility. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you so much for this responsibility. God, you have given each and every one of us a role to play in the building of the next generation. It's not just a saying, it is the truth. Someone poured into us, so we must pour into someone else. Father, we're thankful for those spiritual role models of our lives, for those who took the time to have the conversations, to lead us in the understanding of Scripture. We thank you for our parents. We thank you for our step-parents, for our godparents, for all the different people in our lives who made a difference. May we do the same to the generation coming up. Give us opportunity. Give us the strength and the courage to take that next step, to pour into the lives of these kids. With your truth, with your grace, with your humility, with your kindness, with your mercy. May we do all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.